Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on a very special New York Part 2 extravaganza.
Your corner is up. What is your corner?
Well, I had such a fun lead in, and now it's a not so fun topic.
I'm sorry.
No. Okay.
But sorry, we need to talk about this stuff.
Exactly, because we were talking offline, and we were like, we need to talk about this.
Yes.
And specifically, I want to talk about this because something that happened in the news. Chester C. from Linkin Park killed himself.
Yeah.
And something was revealed about his past that's going to lead into my corner. We're going to be talking about child molestation today, just as some statistics, because we want to bring some light to this thing that's happening in the dark that's an invisible conversation.
I think it's great because we need to, things that we don't talk about are perpetuating. So we need to talk about this, get it out in the open, and figure out ways to
stop doing it.
Right.
Yep, to end that. And then, you know what, Nick, I was thinking after that, we've been talking about so many hard-hitting issues.
It's true.
I feel like we need a little Super Soul Sunday session.
Let's Oprah it up. Let's get in our wicker chairs.
We're going to get in our wicker chairs.
Out in this beautiful backyard. Ooh. I got some lemonade and some iced tea cooking up with some metal straws because you know Oprah likes a metal straw.
She no plastic for her.
Mm-mm.
She ain't going to be no slave drinking out no plastic straw.
No.
Did you ever hear that quote? She was like, I'm not going to be no slave.
I've never heard that.
Well, we'll talk about it in Super Soul Sunday when Oprah said that.
Get your most linen outfit ready.
We're gonna talk about self-worth, self-care, and just get you going.
All I
of
love
our
it
minority corner kid warriors out there. So let's get into it, my soul sister.
I'm ready. Let's go.
You're in New York.
I'm still here. I'm still in New York. I'm still here. I'm still in New York.
Aneke, what has surprised you the most about New York City? You've been to New York many a time, but what's made this trip different?
Well, I mean, this trip... Okay, so technically I'm out here for family.
Yes.
Because my whole family is basically from New York.
Yep.
Or the East Coast.
East Coasters.
But this time around, I decided to take a little detour.
Hey.
And I was like, before I go into my family time, I'm going to hang out with some friends.
Like me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so this time has been wonderful because one, James has been showing me around.
I've been giving her the sights.
I've been seeing all the sights.
What'd you see?
I saw the World Trade Center.
You went there?
I saw...
How was that?
It was powerful.
Mm.
If you haven't seen it, go see it because one, the way that they created the monument is beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then you can also go to this weird mall that's shaped like a whale's rib cage.
I told Aneke afterwards, we're going to go to the Underground Bones Mall.
And didn't tell me anything after that.
It looks like an underground, but it's beautiful. It looks like you're on like a spaceship.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's like the Klingon spaceship.
It is. Well, you know, I pretty much took Aneke on like a full day trip.
It was great. The High Line.
The only things that I know, I have a one-stop shop. I have like one day of touristy stuff to be able to do. So the High Line, we did that.
Yes, which was excellent.
And you get to walk by people's like rich-ass houses.
Fancy windows all open, so rich they don't care.
They don't care. And I'm always curious. I'm like, but how do they watch their porn? How do they watch their porn?
Go into their bedrooms, probably.
I still know, though. Because if it's at eye level, here's the thing about me. If your pornography is at eye level to whatever floor I'm
James
on.
James is going to find
I
it.
I know it. I got like this like sixth sense about it. It's my mutant power. It's not the greatest gift.
I know.
It would not help
I don't
stop.
Know if Professor X would let you into.
I was like, but wait, Professor X, let me be helpful.
He's like,
they're watching porn. Magneto's watching porn. He's like, I don't know if that's
He's
helpful.
Like,
But you know what? It would be helpful because I would know where he is. So maybe that's my guess.
So instead of saying watching porn, you can just find people. But you don't got to say how you find people.
That's true. I know where they are. How do you know?
Let's just say I know where they are.
And something's coming really fast, so we better go quick.
Gross.
Well, what? We can't get the details about my powers? These are my powers in that case. Don't you shame me. It took me a long time to grow into my powers.
I still haven't had coffee. I still haven't had coffee.
She ain't ready for this. So what? You saw the World Trade Center thing is so, I agree. It's so
excellent.
Beautiful. You
excellent.
Can feel the energy. It's the power.
I'd like to point out your transition.
Oh. From porn to the World Trade Center. Hey, you can talk, bring
it
up anytime.
It is breakneck
always
speed
relevant.
Over here, you guys.
We got
breakneck
lots of topics
speed.
To talk about. But like, every time I go back there, it's like such a... and we were talking about this, because you talked about this a few episodes ago, that... what is it? Generation Z?
Yes, the generation after millennials.
So they were born 2000, right?
Right.
So they were like 17. So they like...
They're teenagers.
They don't, but like, they won't have any memories of 9/11. Like,
none.
The rest of us, like, we know that fucking day.
Yeah.
They'll be able to vote in the next election.
And they're the oldest. It's like that weird gap, kind of how we are for millennials.
Yeah.
The born in 2000s are either, they're like cuspy millennial Generation Z. But literally, the rest of Generation Z, 9/11 is history to them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fascinating because mm-hmm. it's a whole different world. I mean, yeah. a lot of us know that you can go through security with your shoelaces.
Yeah.
You know, you could bring like full bottles in your backpack.
I could walk you off to yes. your plane. I could almost get on the plane with you.
You could probably walk me onto the plane, onto give the me plane. A hug, and then be like, bye, and then walk.
Like, there's that scene in Dumb and Dumber where he runs to go try to give her the briefcase, and he's like, it's okay, I'm a limo driver, and then he yeah. runs off the tarmac and falls off. That can never happen.
No. It could never happen in this post 9/11
world. Some child would be like, but what? How did he get through security?
Love Actually makes no sense to people because it shows them all at the beginning hugging in the terminals.
No,
nobody hugs in
that.
No terminals
can't
anymore.
Do that. I gotta drop you off and I gotta go.
Yes.
You can barely, if you ain't got business at the airport, they're like, get out of here.
Get the fuck out of
here.
You
went on a flight? Bye.
Even if you're in a car, yeah, there's people being like, keep it moving, get out of here.
Don't you stay. So,
Stonewall,
you also went to the Stonewall Inn.
I went to the Stonewall Inn, which is awesome. James surprised me on that. We were walking around the corner and he was like, we need to get some cash. I'm like, why? He's like, I got a surprise. And I was like, what is a surprise? And so, we turn the corner and there's a Stonewall.
There it is.
Mellow, beautiful bar. It wasn't like touristy. Mm-mm. It felt like a neighborhood bar. I could see why everybody would want to congregate there and mm-hmm. hang out.
Yeah.
Beautiful flags hanging.
No plaques of Danny, what's his name, from that stupid movie.
No, just the plaques of real people.
Real peoples.
And it was nice to be under the flag for the transgender community because it was on the day that Trump said his bullshit comments.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be like in that collective warm environment.
And we believe, we thought maybe they had still set up for Pride because they had like those
barricades and police officers were milling about.
They were milling about. We think a motorcade drove by.
Yeah.
It was probably Melania or somebody.
Whatever.
Fuck her.
Yeah. But
yeah. mm-hmm.
I would like to point out that when I went to go buy our beers, she was like $14, and I was like, that's expensive
New
for
York
two
prices.
Beers. But then she gave us two drink tickets, so those beers were only $3.50 each.
Which is great, because it makes me realize that happy hour does exist in New York. I thought y'all weren't doing it, but you just gotta do it during the day. We were day drinking. I'm sorry, but we are not on trial here, listener.
Who would be upset about that?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes people just love to judge as they're drinking. Glass houses, listeners. Glass houses.
Who are these listeners?
I don't know. Thou doth protest too much.
The one judgy drinking listener.
Who's like sipping their like gallon of wine. There's sangria wine.
Day drinking.
So it's been a wonderful adventure.
It's been
you
excellent.
Fit right in.
Thanks.
I'm like, who is this New York fashionista?
I mean, James called me when I was relaxing eating some ramen.
She was.
I had music playing in the background.
And she was so stressed. The day before, it was like stress
I was a mess.
Case. And the next day, she had fully transitioned into
it's
her
true.
New York womanhood.
It's true.
She was doing it up.
You know, all I need is a little stomp down the street.
Yep.
And then I'm a part of the world.
She was literally the black Carrie Bradshaw.
I was
or
in a tutu.
Carrie Bradshaw was the black Aneke.
She came before me.
Well, I mean,
she came before me.
But chicken or the egg, Aneke? Chicken
or
the egg? I don't know. I'm not a scientist, neither are you.
Wait, didn't we come up with a theory that the egg had to come first from a proto chicken?
I think we did. But I still feel like the chicken had to be there, but then the egg happened. I'm so, I don't know.
I really think that it was a proto chicken, lay the egg, had a mutant chicken, and that's what chickens are. Scientists, help us.
Okay.
Are you a scientist, Corner Kid?
Do you know? Do you?
Do you?
Do you know, Corner? Do you?
Did a lizard give birth to a chicken?
Oh, you're actually talking about the actual chicken. I was thinking, like, the chicken or the egg in terms of, like, the
just
universe.
A theory. Oh, no, I'm actually talking about a chicken.
I was talking about, like, what came first, like, the Big Bang or, like, you know, what came...
I'm talking about chickens.
I was a literal
I'm
chickens.
Talking about biology.
Like,
biology and cells.
I'm talking about just, like, life in general. Because don't they also use that, like, what happened
Oh, yeah, they
first?
Use it for whatever.
Chicken or the egg.
Yeah, it's an allegory. Or whatever the term is.
A
metaphor.
Confucius.
Confucius.
It's a Confucius. So, before we get to something I want to touch on.
Yes.
Did you know Madonna dated Tupac?
I did.
Did you know that
but
before
I didn't,
the
I
new...
never followed it, though.
Okay. I just found that out because I saw there was a vulture did a thing that Madonna, mm-hmm. her letter, Tupac wrote her a letter while he was in prison.
Breaking up with her.
It was a breakup letter.
Yeah, because she was white.
Oh.
He was basically like, my listeners and fans wouldn't approve of this relationship.
Which is so, I mean, like, no one ever talks. I'm
Madonna bewildered. Actually really liked him and I kept it down low. Because anything Madonna does, I feel like, is put on the national news.
Right, especially at that time, she was, you know, the Britney Spears of the time.
Oh, for sure.
You know, they were just... Thank God the paparazzi didn't exist at that time, because Madonna would have... Like, it's insane. I was watching this video of... I couldn't imagine... Could you imagine having click, click, click in your face? Like, Britney Spears changed the way the paparazzi existed. Like, they tripled around that time.
Oh. Yeah.
They tripled because there was this obsession. You can get so much money for pictures of her and everything that she was doing.
Yeah.
And I saw this one video because DeMario Jackson asked her out. Did you see this?
Who's DeMario Jackson?
From Bachelor in Paradise.
He asked Britney Spears out?
Because he was a wannabe actor.
I'm so done with this
and
guy.
He was a wannabe actor and he was a paparazzo. And there was this 4-minute video that was posted of them, like, she was grocery shopping. This is right after her, like, a few months after her breakdown.
Oh.
And they're just, like, snapping photos. She just went grocery shopping, and she's there with her bouncer. And, like, could you imagine, like, your life the entire time? Like, it's a lot of stress and pressure.
It's the worst.
And they're, like, saying, like, hey, Brittany, what do you want to say to your kids right now? Hey, Brittany, what do you think about this?
Can you imagine?
I can't even, like, no wonder folks have breakdowns. Like,
right?
No wonder that, you know?
I know.
Fucking
insane.
Well,
you know what? There's a new thing that just came out.
Ooh.
That when we're out in our celebrity lives, it's a sweatshirt. And also there's scarves with reflective material that when you snap a picture of it, it makes your face go into shadows.
Amazing. I need to get one of those. I will not have you guys... Just let me live my life.
Exactly.
I am just a regular James. I put my pants on. Well, sometimes I get help. It's tricky.
Stop it.
Oh, but okay, I'm so sad that you came one day late and a dollar short.
I know, because you got to see the most amazing show.
I went to go see a friend of mine was like, hey, I have 100 tickets to
Which
Shakespeare
is
in
so
the Park.
Weird.
He's like, I have 100. And those tickets are hard to come by. You have to get in line like hours in advance.
Because it's free.
It's a free Shakespeare in the Park. It's done by the public theater and they be doing it up. Like they are on point with it.
Mm-hmm.
So Midsummer Night Dream with Felicia Rashad as Titania.
Yes!
It was amazing. And yeah, I'll tell you this. It was about to start raining. It was somewhat raining, but every time Felicia Rashad came out on stage, the rain stopped.
Which is crazy!
Because she's Felicia Rashad. And the other part that I love...
She's like everybody's godmother.
My other favorite part, so she plays Titania. If you don't know Midsummer Night Dream, spoiler alert... Titania sleeps for half the play.
Which is so weird.
They literally have her come out on stage and then she's like, I'm going to take a nap. And then she naps on stage because then they have to like put the like, they like bewitch her.
Yeah.
And so they have to do it while she's on stage. And there's all these other scenes going on and Felicia Rashad is literally
sleeping. I wonder if she actually sleeps.
You know what? I wanted to ask you about that. What do you think? Let's have a conversation. I want to know what is going on in her head in that moment.
Do you think she's running lines or do you think she's thinking about what she's going to do after the show?
That's what I was thinking. Like, is she like, I've got that flight. I've got to go shoot Empire tomorrow. So I'll be back on a plane then. Or like, or is she thinking, or is she like really in it? She's like,
she's asleep. I am sleeping.
I am Ta-ta-da.
It is midnight summer's dream. Yeah.
Behex me. Like,
what is she doing?
I want to know.
Me too.
And like, and I think like, cause Titania's not in a lot of the place. I feel like that's how you're able to get Felicia Rashad into this show.
Cause she's like, I don't got time to learn all these lines.
I'm doing a lot of shit. And you know, I will say this though too. Don't be mad.
Uh-oh.
She was good, but she was not the best person in the show.
She, you know what? When you reach the level that she's at, you don't gotta be that great.
Right. I mean, the younger, there's like the four...
They're
young,
hungry.
The four young lovers.
Yes.
They were fucking hilarious. And this is what I love about the public theater is like they take Shakespeare and they just make it so fucking accessible and they take the language and they make it funny to what would be funny nowadays. Like some of the language could have probably been really like sexist back in the day.
Yeah.
But the women were fucking, they would turn certain lines around. Like when like the king was like, come with me, Hippolyta. She just looks at him and walks in the opposite direction. I'm sure in the original production, she then
goes with him or whatever.
Scampers off with him.
See, that's good.
The women were very physical, beating up on the dudes. They would dip the dudes and then just like, it was just so fucking hilarious. And what also we love about the public theater is it's such diverse casting. Like
yes.
It was just all
because
the races, all the people.
Because that's what kids want to see. And a lot of kids go to Free Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah.
Because I was walking around Central Park the next day, mm-hmm. and there's all these little kids, and most of them are black little kids, probably in, like, summer school programs or something. For them to go and see this show, inspiration.
Absolutely. I mean, even for myself, it was inspiration to see, like, the there was, like the age groups, too, that were in the show. Like, yeah. it was a lot of old actors.
And I so love that.
It just makes you realize that it's never too late. You can do it.
Uh-huh.
And I think we were talking about this, that, like, you know, even seeing, you know, my vision wall, I have,
yeah.
what's that guy's name who just won the Oscar for
Marshall Ali.
Yeah, like he's cracked. Like I'm having an easier time. I'm going as an actor.
Yeah,
because of folks like him who just have cracking that glass ceiling left and right. That just makes it that much easier to
right.
just be myself and give what it is that I have to give and be my full authentic self. So thank
important.
You for all the folks that are, and that's why like visual representation is so key and important. Like
thank
you were saying,
you. Exactly. I forgot what I was going to say. Something about, oh, Midsummer Night's Dream is a weird-ass play.
It is, and sometimes when they do it, I've seen some productions that they just make it like it was an acid trip. Because everyone goes into the woods, they take a lot of naps, people get poisoned, they fall.
take a lot of naps!
Everyone's like, I'm going to go take a nap over here. I will take a nap over here. And then they get drugged, and then they fall in love with the wrong person.
Isn't there a character with an ass face, like a donkey face?
Yeah, he turns into a donkey. So
yeah.
he gets behexed by Puck.
Okay.
And but Puck was supposed to... Puck did the wrong thing. Or he just was,
Puck's a mess.
Puck is a mess. And Puck was a woman. I think Puck normally works best as a woman as well.
Yeah. That's right.
But yeah, everyone's just getting drugged in the forest and doing just... It's just a crazy time in the forest.
So there's going to be a movie with... fuck, I'm forgetting the name of... He's a really known poet, a black guy poet,
oh.
Saul Williams. He's going to be in it. They're doing like a trippy, cool version of it. And one of the twists that they're doing is... Instead of a donkey face, it's a butt face.
Oh.
And he's like has sex with a woman.
Interesting.
With a butt face.
Hmm. There is a character named Bottom.
No, it's the ass face guy.
Oh, it's the actual one.
Yeah.
But Bottom could get it. He was like this older actor guy, and he was just so fucking hilarious. And they were like, yeah, Bottom can get it.
All right.
That was...
You gotta follow that actor's career.
Oh, yeah, I need to go Facebook him.
He lives here in New York.
He do. Well, I mean, maybe. He could be a fake... Like, I saw
him... Well, he's here now. The show is still in production.
I saw him go to the bathroom. Not like... Well, no, I mean...
Did you follow him?
No, he was walking by, and it was in between intermission. I was, like, dumbstruck. I was like, it's Bottom. Which is a funny thing to say.
Find his name, look him up. We're
hey
going to make
Bottom.
This happen. Don't call him that.
Oh, yeah, call him by his real name.
Rick.
Say his... I think his name was Rick.
What?
He looked like a Rick.
Okay.
I hope he's Rick.
I feel like Rick sounds like...
Like a guy who played Bottom?
Yeah.
Is that what it sounds like? Yeah. But yeah, the show is so good. I highly recommend... Well, by the time you're listening to this, it's probably already closed. But Shakespeare in the Park.
There might be a film production. They sometimes film the Shakespeare
in the
Park. They do.
I highly
recommend
it. Makes
right?
it so accessible. I love it too because they just made it so modern of like, you know, like sassiness is really in, right? So
yeah.
like, you know, like the oh, I didn't realize it was a wig too. She had like black, this girl who played like one of the young lovers.
Okay.
She had like these braids in like the first, like... 3/4 of the play, and then when it came to the wedding, her had a different, like,
see,
the wigs,
you know,
on this show are so
good. I actually, when I was walking around Central Park, I snuck a peek at the stage
did
production.
Did you get into the wig caught with the wig locker? You
I
were like,
didn't.
Let me just
but
put these
on. But I did
on.
See the trees.
Oh, it's
the
stunning.
The trees looked really
and they
cool.
rotate around, they light up, there's
see,
just magical,
awesome.
There's like trap doors, all kinds of stuff.
I love that shit.
And people would be like sassy at like the right moment, where it just so fun to see Shakespeare like dipping
modern-y.
Into... It was very modern. Mm-hmm. One of the... Hippolyta becomes like essentially Beyonce in the end. She has this Beyonce like wig, that crown,
so
the crown that she has.
Yes.
It's fucking amazing.
God, I love it.
I just a week of theater, and the last thing, there's a theater company called Movement Theater Company.
Ooh.
They did this show called And She Would Stand Like This.
Oh, like what?
It is like this. It's essentially a cross between, it takes ball culture and mixes
yes.
it with the Trojan Women, which is a Greek
cool.
play at the time. One of my favorite plays, because it kind of takes all the women that are being affected in the Iliad
mm.
and puts them all together. So you have like
oh, wow.
Helen and Hecuba and Cassandra and just all of these women together, because
they're
mostly sidelined throughout all these different Greek plays and stories.
So, but in ball culture, mm-hmm. so is there a merging between kind of like a gay man's like vision and community? community with these women
good who call.
Have been sidelined?
So there's also transgender women who are being played. Hecuba was played by a transgender woman.
Yes.
And so it is this idea that like they are creating, because Hecuba has all these children. And
yes.
So they were all her children
at
her house.
Oh, I love this.
But it's so crazy because it was also like, first of all, you go in there and it's this giant fucking runway.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because usually you're going to a show, you're like, okay, I'm going to, you know, you have
to
get
in
into
chair.
It. No, I go in there. It was like fashion week and it was like, and all these different lights, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna sit in the front row.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it was so fucking dope and so fucking powerful to, again, like, take this old text and old language and do something different with it.
So cool.
And it's also set in like the 80s of ball culture, and the Trojan Women is set in the middle of, like, you know, the
full
Trojan
Paris
War
is burning.
Yeah, so like it's set in like you have the Trojan War, but instead of the Trojan War, like, what was the big war that was happening here in our home front?
Yeah,
the AIDS epidemic,
right?
So, you know, these people, the houses were being affected, and just like they were like, you know, Helen was like one of the people who was for, like, she was bringing this to like the house, and it was just so fucking well done. This woman from One Night to Live was in the show, and like and they did like a dance party afterwards. RuPaul was there the night before I went to opening.
They did
a dance party. I know, I missed him by a hair. And I sat next to this guy who I ended up making out with later on in the show.
It was your own Midsummer's Night's
Dream.
It
really was. I was transported.
It is Midsummer.
So if you're in New York, look out for the Movement Theater Company. They're doing some really fantastic stuff. I think by the time this show airs, that show will have been closed.
Oh.
But also, like,
they're still probably going to do more amazing things, though.
Exactly. And like, what I love about all these shows, it's like, if you're doing if you're doing an old text, you gotta do something different with it.
I love that. And you know what? I love incorporating different ideas where it's like with the houses.
Mm.
As soon as you started saying houses, it just brought to mind so many different things. You could have a full Shakespearean play just with ball culture houses.
You could do Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
You could do a gay-ass Romeo and Juliet with ball culture.
Exactly.
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
Which sounds way better than what we talked about last week, Confederate.
Yes. Again, use
Thank
your fucking
you.
Imagination.
Use your brain.
This reminds me, I have this idea. I was hesitant to bring it on the airwaves because one of y'all might steal my idea, but just make sure you give me some copyright credit. Or you know what? Cast me in this fucking show.
There we go.
But I want to do an 80s ball culture, like Netflix type series.
Okay.
So it's like 80s ball culture meets Game of Thrones.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Because the battles, the battles are that intense. People who switch houses, you know.
Drama. Probably backstabbing and manipulation.
Yes. Right. And also just the creation of families. It's all of the things.
Yes.
You know?
I love
all
it.
All the things.
Because everybody loves their self-made family.
People love
because
that.
Because it is important because you're choosing it. And you're choosing to surround yourself with these people.
Absolutely.
So when betrayal happens with that, it is even more dramatic. It's like when people break up with friends versus breaking up with a loved one.
Oh,
it's way more dramatic.
It's way more. Yeah, because the roots are there and it's something and the violation just stings and hurts that much more.
I love this.
Yeah.
And I want you to be involved in the creative process and I want you to be in it.
Mm.
And you know, I'll just play like a street vendor.
Okay, I was gonna mean you could be one of the judges. Like you're like,
oh, okay.
You're like Madame Anke.
I can't be like hot dogs. Get your hot dogs here.
Because you know what, we're not gonna see a lot of street scenes. Oh. We're gonna be really in the balls for most of it, and then the backstage dressing
you
rooms.
You don't want to start with the street vendors.
I guess it's like the opening pan into the scene, and then
yeah.
All right,
hot dogs.
And then
then we keep
panning around. And then it's the rest of the stuff. So, okay, I'm with you.
Okay, maybe.
And then, like, maybe...
I'll put on another wig.
Maybe you'll be not the Spike Lee, but the... what's his name? All the Marvel cameos.
The agent guy or the Sam Jackson guy?
No, neither.
Nick Fury?
Neither of those guys.
Oh.
Who's the guy who always has the cameos? Who's the old guy who made all the Marvel movies?
Stan Lee. I was
Spike
hoping
Lee.
For a bigger role than...
Oh, well, but that's going to be in all these different like episodes, like different things.
Ooh, so then people would be like, when's Aneka going to pop up?
And then
up?
Like, not, you're... Not,
and then I'm a beggar witch.
Then you're... And then the next episode, you're like the powder girl.
I'm a fisherman.
Like, yeah, okay. Again, I think you're taking us away a little from the ball culture a little bit.
The captain of an airplane.
Okay, so I don't know that we're going to be flying anywhere. We'll workshop some of these
shoe shine girl.
Okay, better.
Okay.
Better? Because you come in and you get your shoe shine. Get your shoe shine.
Street urchin.
Okay, all right.
You know,
we'll keep workshopping these ideas.
We'll just create an Excel sheet.
Like, what's a midwife?
Sure. I'll be a doula.
Lots of things, a lot of subplots here. I can see a lot of things, a lot of traveling. Well, we better get into the rest of this episode.
Yeah, let's get to your corner.
All right, lady, come on over. All right, we're going to put our serious hats on here.
Got them on.
Got our serious hats. You can even tell from our voices.
Ooh, you're very just, you know, sedate in the lower registers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's because it's one of those things, and the reason I realized I needed to talk about this because yes. I didn't want to. And because I was afraid, like, I talked about rape on the show before, yes. and I was hesitant because didn't want to bring up anything for anybody who had experienced that. Or didn't
Trigger warning.
Or didn't want to feel like I was being insensitive or, like, a lot of times people are like, well, why are you talking about that? Because we don't talk about it.
We need to talk about these things. We've talked about a lot of these. We talked about child abuse, yeah. spanking.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about sexism, racism. So let's dive in.
Yeah. And so I wanted to talk about child molestation. And because it kind of clicked to me because I was, Chester C. from Linkin Park committed suicide.
Yeah. Bennington?
But Chester C. Bennington.
Oh,
like
okay.
We used to call him Chester C., but I think he's evolved to Chester Bennington.
Because you were a fan.
I was a huge Linkin Park fan.
Yeah.
Fucking so huge. In my little teen angsty, days.
You were their demographic.
I was a teen angsty person. And just to be even a little bit more candid, like, his music got me through a lot of tough times.
That's good. That's what they wanted.
I was on, I was a suicidal teen or had suicidal thoughts. And I think many folks have or were on that spectrum in some ways. Like, it seems like it gets really tough. And, you know, it's tough growing up. And then, you know, having this inner conflict with inside of myself of thinking that I was, there's something wrong with me. Thinking that, you know, not knowing I was fully gay, but maybe that was possibly the thing. Just, like, not even wanting to really touch onto what that was.
You were developing into your adult self.
Yeah. And I can see how when you are that young that it feels like there's no other way out.
Right.
And his music was my way out.
That's amazing.
It was such my outlet. Not only him, but also, like, you know, Korn and, like, Limp Bizkit. But definitely, like,
they were a part of it.
They were a part of that, you know, butt angry, angsty rock, you know, yes. stuff that just got me through those times.
It was
where
a genre.
Just felt like no one else got me, and the power of music. And I was looking, there was a lot of, like, when someone, so Chester, he hung himself.
Yeah, he hung himself.
And I think it was, like, there was other rock star. Chris Cornell also just hung himself, like, a few months ago.
He did Chester on his birthday.
Yeah, and then Chester did this beautiful, they just recently released an album, Linkin Park, that just has this, and the music that he wrote for it is so apropos to, like, what's happening right now. And I was listening to his music and listening to the latest album, and it just hurts. It was like, oh man, I wish. The thing why his music connects with people is because he's coming from that dark place, that place of such hurt.
He just feels it,
and he feels it, and then we're able to feel it too. And it's so terrifying, or it's sad that, like, this person who helps so many other people, his music wasn't able to do the same thing for him.
Right.
So it's sort of jarring or scary that, like, whoa, how did this guy not make it through? And I was reading that apparently, you know, he was a survivor of child molestation when he was a kid.
For a really long extended time, too, from what I read.
Yeah. And then that it transgressed into, drinking issues and drinking problems.
And drugs.
And so I think that was, like, why I was like, and then I was also watching the movie Spotlight. I only made it halfway through because I fell asleep. I go to bed early, so
It's a serious movie.
It was, like, I tried to watching it on, like, a Friday night at, like, 11, and by midnight
I was
late.
That's a 9 o'clock movie.
But I made it through halfway through, and I'm gonna finish it.
Yes.
But Spotlight is also about the huge, based on a true story,
right?
The child molestation that was happening within the Catholic Church,
yes,
specifically in Boston. But you realize it's just fucking, like, huge spread out. Like,
there's another one that I just watched on Netflix called, oh God, of course I'm forgetting it, but it's about nuns.
Oh.
There was a nun that was killed, and it basically opens up this whole molestation ring that happened in a Catholic high school.
I mean, my God.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so it's, again, like, these are babies, and it's such, like, these formative years and in these places. So I just kind of wanted to just have a conversation about this.
Yeah.
and just sort of kind of, I think not everybody is aware of all, I'm a big statistic guy.
Yes.
Because it kind of helps get a visual picture of what the numbers are that we're dealing with, because we don't talk about it, because I didn't know the numbers. I know that it happens, but I just didn't know the numbers. So this website you can go to, I'm not going to read all of the, just some of the highlight ones. They have some really, a really great in-depth article about it on this website called Darkness to Light.
Okay.
And child sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was going to say is that I was going to look into, like, oh, what are their statistics for, like, by different races who are, you know, molested or LGBT people? And then I thought, hold up, no. This is just an issue.
All-encompassing.
Every race, every gender, everyone is affected by this. So I just wanted to put it across the board.
And let's also, since we're talking about children do not have sexuality. Mm-hmm. They get that in adolescence.
Yeah.
So we can't even really give them a sexual preference because they're children.
True. Yeah. I will. In the spotlight, there's the gay character who said that he knew. He think it was like when he was 15.
Yeah.
And he knew that he was gay, and the priest also knew he was gay, and like this was like part of. And how confusing for him.
Yeah.
Because this was the priest's way of, like, getting that out of him. And so it was, like, predatory in
this
that sense.
This is so predatory.
So, some statistics. So, 1 in 10 children will be sexually abused before the age of 18.
1 in 10.
It's like 10%. So, child abuse is far more prevalent than people realize. Yeah. You can tell from this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
About 90% of child abuse victims know their abuser.
Ugh.
So there's a lot of misconception about that. Like, and that's just like with like the whole entire like bathroom scare.
Bullshit.
Right?
And also stranger danger is a little bit of a myth then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think stranger danger, I guess, from like don't kidnap me.
Yeah. Don't kidnap
but
me.
But like,
but they even say that most kidnaps are done by a family member.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who is spread again? That storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get a whole, cause you know, all those like NBC Monday night movies that used to come on.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get kidnapped all
right.
the time.
Never go to that white van.
Right.
But it's probably going to be your uncle or your stepdad.
In that white van.
Yeah. So.
So those who molest children, like we were just talking about, look and act just like everyone else. So
yes.
They can be neighbors, friends, and family members. I'm also not trying to scare anybody.
No.
But just wanting to put the information out there.
And what I was saying before wasn't meant to be a joke. Just,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get off on our roles a little bit.
I know.
1 in 7 incidents of child sexual abuse were perpetuated by juveniles and occurs on school days.
Mm.
So child sexual abuse takes place under specific, often surprising circumstances.
Mm.
And there's some greater statistics about all of these things that I'm looking at. So definitely take time and go to the website there.
What was the website again?
It's called d2l.org.
Okay.
But I'm going to read a few more.
Okay.
Of children who are abused, who are sexually abused, 20% are abused before the age of 8. So these are happening really soon.
8?
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, you're so not sexualized.
No, you're a kid. You're like playing with toys.
Yeah. And so the history of child sexual abuse increases the chance of dropping out of school or quitting school.
Yeah. It's...
Because you get emotional and mental problems from all of that. Only 4 to 8% of child sexual abuse reports are fabricated. So it's also one of those things that there's also not so much data about this.
Yeah.
And I think especially for, I think there's a lot of stigma for young men who are sexually abused too. I think on both sides of the front.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And the same thing when we talk about like male-on-male rape that sometimes happens too.
Yeah.
It's even less likely to come forward and talk about these things. And also because it's like, again, it's like, especially like, and sometimes people block these things out. And
don't
even realize until,
don't
like,
even.
Until it comes out, you know, later on in life. And then, so there's also some crazy like rules within like, oh, you have like 3 years to report this or something. So
why?
If you wait too long, you can't even do anything about it.
It should be forever because you don't know when repressed memories will come popping up again.
Yep. Use of alcohol or drugs at an early age can be a sign of trauma, such as sexual child abuse. So these
self-medication.
Folks, yeah, these people are that much more likely to self-medicate, like you were just saying there. There's a really, so that they have a pamphlet, and then they have this like huge like 14-page document that just goes into even more details and more facts, like identified incidents of child sexual abuse are actually declining, though there is no clear, but again, like the reporting of it.
It's hazy.
But if it is declining, I think that's because we're talking about it more. Good. And we have language around it.
We're breaking that chain.
Yeah. And we're having like spaces, and I think like things like this, like yes. bringing that up there.
Yeah.
And I guess like, I don't know, I'm not a parent, so I guess, I don't even know how you would like talk to your child to like let them know that like if something is happening, let me know.
I feel like, I mean, I'm not a parent either, but what was demonstrated to me and what I've seen other parents do is it's not a one-time thing. You got to have open, honest communication with your child all the time. You got to check in with them. You got to sit down to dinner and talk to them. And your kid will tell you everything. I mean, I feel so comfortable with both of my parents that I tell them everything. So if something wrong were to happen, it would be a no-brainer to bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I guess if you, there are organizations out there like Darkness to Light, if you are, a survivor of sexual abuse,
yeah.
I would say, I guess we all should get more involved in our communities and have these conversations and just sort of put it out there. And like, I guess like, I mean, it's so easy for me to say, cause I just don't do these things or wouldn't think to do these things. Like, leave children alone.
Leave them alone. I think also those of us who aren't parents can take a role as uncles and aunts and support our children that surround us that may not be our own children. Because sometimes if these kids don't have that outlet with their own parents, it's good for them to know that there are trusted adults that are around that can help them.
Yeah.
Especially those of us who work in a school environment as well.
Yeah.
Like being a trusted adult to a kid, you could be a lifesaver.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's true. Just to put that ear out for them and let them know there's someone else out there to connect with them. And then if, it's also talking, this is the next thing I was going to talk about. Also, definitely recommend, I mean, I recommend therapy for everybody.
Yes.
But if you are a survivor of, you know, child molestation, please, I recommend, urge to get that help. There are support groups out there as well that can, because you're not alone.
No.
And there are people out there that can help you work through this.
Yeah.
Because your mental health problems are common amongst people who've survived, obviously, you know. And also apparently obesity and eating disorders.
Oh, interesting.
Are also common as well.
I would like to point out something.
Yeah.
I feel like because we live in a
patriarchy.
Patriarchy. There is a double standard that happens, which has been kind of irritating to me, which is perpetuated in a lot of media, which is like the high school or middle school boy who has like a sexual relationship with a teacher and it's shown as sexy.
Yeah.
That's abuse.
It is abuse.
And I think that we need to really highlight that and protect our teenage boys and not perpetuate such a like weird sexual culture for boys, because there, a lot of times I think boys are sexualized early because it's be a man.
Oh, and like, yeah.
So we need to stop that.
The you know what? It just triggered something for myself. Like the fucking guy who's in charge of this country.
Yes.
That orange dude.
Yeah.
He was speaking at like a Boy Scouts of America like conference thing. Did you see this?
I didn't watch it.
He was speaking at this Boy Scouts of America conference, which like, and he literally was just, it was like he was on the campaign trail again. He was still talking about beating Hillary Clinton or whatnot.
What the fuck?
And then I forget, he made some sort of reference of like, oh, and then he started like, and most of these people who are working who are Boy Scouts, they kind of come from like, you know, working class, rural like areas, like, you know. Like,
yeah, blue collar.
Blue collar, right? Mm-hmm. And he just started talking about like this, went on this tirade about like this millionaire guy that he knew and went on this guy's yacht and yada yada. And then he was like, well, I won't tell you what he did with that money sometimes. A little inappropriate. But I mean, y'all are Boy Scouts. You know. Should I tell them? No,
gross.
I won't tell them. These are fucking children.
Children! We should not be sexualizing our boys. And you know what? Even movies like The 40-Year-Old Virgin, where it's like making fun of an older man who hasn't had sex, it's sex having being sexually active shouldn't define your growth as an adult.
No.
So I feel like because of that, the age gets pushed down and further down for boys when they might not be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Which then flips it back and pressures those boys to pressure women and girls who aren't comfortable to have sex as well. So we are perpetuating this and both sides are suffering.
Yeah.
So stop it.
Yep. Everybody literally just needs to go to therapy.
Yes!
You know, everyone needs to go and get those support systems and sort of talk through all this, like, stuff, because we just keep perpetuating these things.
Right.
And just create like, you know, greater awareness, you know?
Right.
And I do really believe that we are in this period of enlightenment and awakening, because we're having conversations, we're kind of stopping a little bit more and saying, whoa.
Right.
It's, society's just been going. It's only just been going faster. So I did want to read this last part, but what do I do if I suspect or discover child sexual abuse?
Okay.
So, I'll read this in a little detail. So it says, fact, signs that a child is being sexually abused are often present, but they are often indistinguishable from other signs of childhood stress, distress, or trauma. Okay. So, direct physical signs of child sexual abuse are not common. However, when physical signs are present, they may include bruising, bleeding, redness, and bumps or scabs around the mouth, genitals, or anus, urinary tract infections, sexually transmitted diseases, and abnormal vaginal or penile discharge are also warning signs.
This is so disturbing.
Right. But just the things to like look out for, especially if you're like a parent or something.
You're a trusted adult.
Yeah. Child sexual abuse victims often exhibit indirect physical signs such as anxiety, chronic stomach pain, and headaches. Mm. So, you know, if there's a child who's constantly kind of talking about those, there could be signs there.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional and behavioral signals are common amongst sexually abused children. Some of these are too perfect behavior, withdrawal, fear, depression, unexplained anger, and rebellion. Which I think could be really hard, because that sounds just like a teenager.
That sounds like a teenager.
Seems like a teenager to me,
right.
You know?
But if your six-year-old's doing that?
Yeah, then definitely it's maybe a bit of a check-in or whatnot. Some common consequences of trauma include nightmares, bedwetting, failing grades, cruelty to animals, bullying, being bullied, fire setting, running away, and self-harm of any kind.
Mm.
And then one of the most telling signs that sexual abuse is occurring is sexual behavior and language that is not age appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So use of alcohol or drugs, like we said, at an early age can also be signs of trauma, such as child sexual abuse. So if you want to report abuse, you can contact the state child protective agencies located in your state.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also visit, like I said, d2l.org/get help. Or just go to their website. They have a lot of great resources as well.
That's so excellent. I really wanted to touch on, since I have worked with children.
Oh, yeah.
If you do suspect something, I would highly recommend not just going up to the child and being like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Because
that can be a little
nobody
much.
Wants that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, really, the way that I've always been able to, those of us who aren't parents, the way that I've been able to talk to children and really kind of just be open, just be a friendly, open, happy person, get to know the child, don't be too invasive on this child because they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be a predator to this child.
Mm-hmm.
Play with them, talk to them, and you'll be surprised how quickly a child will open up and talk to you and like be comfortable. And you never know, especially with a teenager. I know a lot of us adults who aren't around teenagers, they can be kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
But you think of teenagers, and those of you teenagers that are listening, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say this. You're a kid.
You are.
You're a kid.
Oh my God, yeah.
So just remember that. Treat them like they're little humans.
Yeah, little humans.
They have they're who they are.
Yeah.
And just be an open, honest space. Like one of the, I never encountered this issue, but as a librarian at a high school, I had my door open door policy. Mm-hmm. Whenever a student wanted to come in and talk, they were always allowed to come in and talk. We close the door and we talk.
Yeah.
And just being open, checking in constantly, day to day. Hey, how's it going? What's going on with you? Tell me about this weird thing. Mm-hmm. What's this singer? I don't know the singer. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about this mm-hmm. or whatever. You get comfortable. You get a repertoire. And then there were things that came out in my office.
You're just building an authentic relationship with them.
Because you truly care.
Yeah.
Because you find yourself really getting invested in these kids because they're awesome. Yeah. Teenagers are really amazing.
Yeah.
Groups of 20, you can cool down a little bit.
It's like, but you're cool and then you're not so cool and then, yeah.
But I highly, highly, highly
individually, they're pretty dope.
They're amazing. Yeah. So if you can get a long-lasting relationship with a kid, highly encourage it. Be that trusted, warm, open space.
Yeah.
And you never know who you're going to influence mm-hmm. because each of us will influence somebody who's just like us coming up in the world.
Yeah.
And then two, you might save somebody.
That's so true. Yeah. And I also wonder too, should we almost be providing education for young people? Like, I mean, we teach them about sex ed, but I don't know that there's like, I never learned like, I never took like a workshop as like a kid of like, what to do if someone's touching you inappropriately that you don't, yeah. you know, I don't.
There should be more of that.
Yeah.
Because it puts those predators on warning.
Because so, that way, stop to it. Let the kids know that, like, hey, if someone touches you.
This is not
this
right.
This is not right. It is inappropriate.
Right.
So maybe that happens in school, but I think maybe even just more of it because then it'll empower those kids. Because they're kids. They don't know what's happening. They might think that they're. It just can fuck with someone's mind.
Especially if it's somebody close yeah. or in power.
Yep.
That's where a lot of the Catholic priests or mm-hmm. just people in power yeah. can hold that over you. Or if it's somebody super close living in your home,
yep.
It's hard to do something.
Yeah.
So if it's being taught outside of the home in school,
yeah.
then they might be able to put two and two together and yeah. hopefully make it stop. Because this is... I mean, knock on wood, I'm fortunate enough where I didn't have to go through this. But it is something that I can't even wrap my brain around.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to protect our children. They're children.
Yeah. And I would also say, too, I'm blanking on his name. There's a podcaster. There's been even more and more folks kind of coming forward. And I just want to applaud all of you.
Yeah.
Because that is what's even brought it to my attention to talk about it. Same, I have not experienced something like this either. But, like, I just applaud everyone who's come forward with their stories because it just, I kind of, again, storytelling is so important because then we're able to connect with it and,
right.
and see that, oh, this is happening and be able to connect another person with that. So
right.
I just really applaud. I know it's really difficult and really challenging and really hard, but I am with, you know, this minority of people who are survivors of this.
Right.
We are allies here, so we
yes.
wanted to do we wanted to do something for this movement to end child abuse around the world.
Could you bring up the Chester who
yeah.
was very vocal.
Yeah.
And thank you to him.
Thank you to, yeah, a big thank you to Chester and folks who like him. Speak out, create music, create art. This is our gift and our ability to make this world the heaven on earth that we really do all know in our hearts and deserve to have here.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah.
Hello. We are...
Oprah and Gail. Gail and Oprah.
I'm just wearing this nice, white, breezy outfit.
Mm.
We're sitting in our tube.
I'm naked.
Oh.
Well, I'm just trying to be myself.
Okay,
trying
sure.
to be me and
sure,
comfortable.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, we're out in the backyard.
This breeze is getting my nips.
It's just nice and glowy right now.
I'm drenched in sweat.
You're making me uncomfortable.
That is the opposite of what I'm trying to do. Okay, so this is a new...
Put on a shirt.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to wipe the sweat off.
Sure.
I'm in New York.
Just,
I'm just
going to
get sweaty again.
Put some underwear
okay,
on.
Okay, fine.
Okay,
Jesus,
thank you.
Bossy.
There we go. All right.
Now can we begin?
Yes!
Okay. Well, and I kind of wanted to touch base because it's been a roller coaster of recording sessions.
Whew. You've been in California twice. Your brother got married.
I mean,
I'm out here in New York. I'm going to a family reunion.
And the conversations we've been having, it's been very intense.
Yes.
There's been a lot of intense conversations.
Yes.
And so I kind of wanted us to interview each other about just like a little check-in about...
I didn't know it'd be an interview.
Well, I mean, it's just a conversation. Okay. But I want to think about, like, you know, how Oprah would do it.
Okay.
So, like, just checking in with, like, self-worth and self-care.
Our Super Soul Sunday.
It is. Because we're having so many different conversations about self-worth. Mm-hmm. And why do you think, especially for people of color, why is knowing your history important?
Well, it's like one of those things where if you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our listeners are white,
mm-hmm.
but those of our listeners who aren't white,
mm-hmm.
we have been listening to European history mm-hmm. in America.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say about our international listeners,
mm-hmm.
but America, we're an American podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been listening about American history, which goes back to basically how America was quote-unquote discovered
mm-hmm.
by Columbus. So we learn about Spain, we learn about Britain,
mm-hmm.
we learn about... all of those places,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know about our own histories as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I know that my family came over in slave trade,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know anything that happened in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know much about I wasn't taught, I had to find out myself or through my parents, but not through school.
Mm-hmm.
About the contribution that black people did to America. We learn about Martin Luther King Jr., we learn about Rosa Parks, but everybody else, you kind of are tidbit anecdotes on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, we don't know our own history. We don't know what our ancestors have contributed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who we come from. And the culture of America is to lift up
mm-hmm.
the white population
mm-hmm.
and to kind of make us secondary.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I walk past the Natural Museum of History, there's a big-ass sculpture of Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And who's next to him? A Native American man and a black man.
Not on a horse. They're, like, at his
side. They are holding him up. And the black man is naked. He got a nice braided hairdo, but he's naked.
He's naked. Why he can't have any clothes on?
Give him some underpants.
And this is like also, I mean, this is like 1900. It was like in the 1900s.
Right.
So black people were definitely clothed then.
They were very clothed.
Everybody
was wearing
quite dapper.
Wool. Yes.
Quite dapper they were.
So it's
And like, also, could you imagine like you're a kid and you go up to this museum... And this is the images that you see.
I felt that way as a damn adult when I was sitting there.
Mm,
I was like, God damn it.
This is what I still have to see.
So that self-worth is lower
mm-hmm.
because of just the culture that is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very one note, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you are white in America, you get to be the default
mm-hmm.
and also have a multifaceted, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I could be a fireman, I could do this, I could do that, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Where... when you're a person of color, it is usually a one-note story
mm-hmm.
that is told over and over again,
mm-hmm.
and it fits into the little bracket
mm-hmm.
that they give you,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't give you the richness of who you are.
Mm. It's interesting, too, because you said, again, even just from a video game standpoint,
mm.
there was that thing with The Sims recently
mm-hmm.
of like how I think this black... engineer, I don't know, what do they call
gamer?
Themselves? Gamer, designer,
yeah.
woman.
Developer. Game developer.
Amazing human being. She was like, wait, she had to make her own packs, like
mm.
her own sort of Sims packs. So the only ones, like, she was like, that's not our hair.
Right.
And so then she made her own sort of Sim
Ooh,
packs that
good.
Came in all different body shapes
yes.
and hair types and all kinds of stuff. Because again, like, you know, everything is, the white is the default.
Right.
And if you, again, just have a bunch of white people creating something, that's where... you know, their mind is only in that.
Exactly.
It definitely goes back to, like, diversifying the folks around you and what you're creating. But it is interesting, too. It's like, I've been so empowered by a lot of the episodes we've been doing recently.
Because
we've been learning. I mean, I'm always empowered.
Okay,
but when we
yeah.
learn about, like, you know, POC histories that
yes.
are never told, it's just, I always feel so empowered. Like, when we talked about Queen Khalifa
yes.
last week, when you talked about World War II,
yes.
and just, like... all the different, like, histories that we learn, it empowers me, and I look around, you know, I live in West Harlem, and it's
right.
a lot of POCs there.
Mm-hmm. Historically
and
black.
Historically black, yeah. And even Latino, too.
Yes, Spanish Harlem.
Yeah, I don't know why. I thought Spanish Harlem was East Harlem, but on my block, like, it's a lot of, and in my
There's
neighbor,
been a lot of movement,
okay.
too.
Because, like, in my neighborhood, it's definitely both equally, like, black and Spanish there.
Yeah. I think it's always been kind of like that, too.
Can I put myself on blast here before I get to that point?
Yes.
So I have always toted myself of like, oh, I'm embarrassed to say this.
It's safe spate. I can delete this too.
Okay, good. You might need to delete this.
Okay.
She won't. I always said I was like, I'm not a gentrifier. I'm black. I can't be a gentrifier. Mm. And then I said to my friends, I was like, but I do wish we had some coffee shops and some bars and some restaurants in my neighborhood. Yeah. But everybody benefits from coffee shops, don't they?
What you're saying is a good point.
Okay.
Because that is the crux of gentrification. Mm-hmm. Because we... areas where people of color and people of lower economic status are in places that are generally food deserts.
Yes.
You don't have a grocery store.
Nope.
You can't get a natural organic fruit if you wanted to. You can't get sushi or whatever. All the accoutrements of an upper class neighborhood, which is generally white. So the first instances of gentrification are wonderful. You get a grocery store. You get that fancy restaurant.
Because in my neighborhood, there's a fancy ass Fairway.
Yes.
It's like no other market.
I didn't know what a Fairway was before.
She's learned. There's one right outside your fancy hotel room.
It's true. It's true.
But that's like, it seems like there's good things in the beginning.
But then the problem is when it starts pushing people out. There has to be a way for us to figure out for us to get the good stuff into the neighborhood, but maintain the community and the reason why people want to come to that neighborhood in the first place.
There's two tangents I want to talk about here.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this offline, so I want to circle back to one of these and we can pick which adventure to go on.
Ooh,
to,
choose your own.
Choose your own adventure. One, you and I talked about early gentrifiers or pioneers into these neighborhoods tend to be...
Columbusing.
Early Columbus folks tend to sometimes be white gays.
Yeah,
right?
We talked about that.
So we either have that to go on to.
Okay.
Or, well, let's circle back to that. Put a pin in that one.
Put a pin in that.
And this thing about gentrification, or about finding your own story and finding empowerment through it. So I just feel like and maybe this isn't like, maybe this is my, like, I went to graduate school and my elitistness is possibly bias and educational thing there too.
This is all a conversation.
So, but I just think I'm like, shit, if these folks in the neighborhoods, like, knew their history and knew that their self-worth and, like, the words, you know, again, the book I'm reading about, The Four Agreements, talks about the words that we ingest, why our words are magical.
Right.
So if you're hearing words, you're not going to be nothing, you ain't going to have nothing, like, your people are nothing.
Right.
Well, then you're not going to really, you know... you feel like you've got nothing. And so you're just kind of just like hanging out and not, you know.
Not doing it. Like, for example, when I was, I'll always remember one of my first gigs as a librarian, I worked at a community college where a lot of poor black people went. Just poor folks of all colors went there. And I'll always remember, one, I was super young. So a lot of people mistook me as a student, which at the time made sense. But... after I would acknowledge that I was actually a librarian, one black woman said, "Oh, I didn't know we could do that." So it's seeing it. Yeah. And you gave a good, like you pointed out about seeing black teachers.
Yeah, there's a statistic. I don't know this. I don't remember the statistic, but Tara Brach was talking about this on her podcast.
Yes.
If just like the importance of having black teachers.
Yeah.
So if a student within his first six years, if he has just one black teacher, he's something like 30-60% more likely to go to college.
Which is amazing.
Huge. And the impact that has.
Self-worth.
Yeah.
Seeing the possibilities.
And she brought that up because what happened after the segregation ended in the 60s, a lot of black teachers lost their jobs because white parents didn't want their students to learn from black teachers because they thought they weren't good enough.
This is terrible.
So that even goes why into there's such few black teachers as there is.
Right.
And then those, you know, white teachers we've seen it statistically, they have bias against the non-white students.
Implicit bias. You can't help it
and
sometimes.
And so then just is this ripple effect. So you're not going to be anything. You're not going to do anything. They're reprimanded at higher rates.
Right.
And so they don't get out of, they don't get to grow their neighborhood and their communities, right? And so there's that ripple effect doesn't spread. There's no that people really helping each other out of the system.
Right. Let's think about it on a large scope. we've only, up until Barack Obama, had white men presidents.
Yeah.
So can you imagine all the black kids? Somebody, and they've always said that, oh, anybody can be president. You could be president. But if you don't see the example, you don't necessarily believe
it. Yeah.
So that's big level. So let's take it down to the lower level. If you don't see black librarians, if you don't see black teachers, and that is not the president, that's just a regular old teacher. You're not given that. You don't have that self-worth being demonstrated to you. So we need to empower our kids by demonstrating.
Yeah. And I think also be mindful of what you're ingesting. I think we even have to work even harder at building our self-worth.
Yes.
For any of us who are in that, you know, minority category. So I think we have to work at creating our own self-worth because it's not always accessible to us, not always handed to us. So I think it's like being mindful of the words that we say out loud.
Yeah.
And the words that we say into our mind. And it takes work.
Yes.
So this kind of dipping into the second half of what is that we're talking about. So self-care.
Yes.
And I mentioned this before, but I highly recommend folks like meditating because like we have all these different thoughts that are in our head.
Yes.
And just to filter out some of the bullshit, you can even, there's so many different forms of meditation. It doesn't have to be sitting.
Right.
I use Headspace. Some people do, I also sometimes do free write in the morning. Just free write 2 to 3 pages.
Free write is an excellent exercise.
And it just sort of gets like, if you do it first thing in the morning, it sort of gets all the bullshit out in the very beginning. Some people use jogging, like whatever it is, it's being intentional about like, this is my me time just to just focus and sort of, how do you get your zen? Is it yoga?
And you will know your own zen.
Yeah.
And don't be ashamed of your zen.
Whatever your zen
sometimes
is.
Sometimes it is binging a TV show.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's like taking a nap for me. And sometimes I like to braid my hair and like do my different hairstyles because it takes me out of the moment and allows me to just center and be in with myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I guess also being like mindful of like, what are the words or images that one is sort of digesting?
Right.
Sort of like, is this empowering me?
Does
this make, like, what do I, what are the images that I get out of this so I can go out and be my best self at the end of the day?
Yes.
You know? So just, that's what I want for everybody who's listening to this podcast and wherever you are. It's like, I don't know, I feel like us as human beings, that is our gift and our job is like, I want to grow as big as I can, which will then help everybody else grow as much as they can. So that way the next generation can also do that. I don't want people to have to deal with the same bullshit I had to deal with, you know? And I'm so grateful for all those who came before me who paved the way so I don't have to deal with the bullshit that they were dealing with, you know?
I love that.
I feel like we really are coming into this new age of enlightenment. I just want to push that forward.
I love it. I think that that is where we need to go. We need to think more positively. We can focus on some of the negative things that are happening only to combat it, to recognize that it's happening and then to transcend it.
Yeah.
And that starts with within yourself.
Yeah.
If you are feeling crappy, try to understand it. Understand the negativity, where it's coming from, where it stems from, and then figure out the action that goes along with it. Do you need to talk it out in therapy? Do you need some time out? Do you need to go enjoy nature? Figure out what you need. I think we come from a culture where we're supposed to be supporting each other and being selfless, but sometimes there's a time when you need to be selfish.
Yeah.
And you brought this up on the podcast before, where it's like you're on the plane and you put the oxygen mask on yourself before you put it on the children. You got to help yourself before you help other people.
If you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anybody else, as RuPaul said?
RuPaul, come on the show.
Come on over. I missed you at that other show that you were at.
I know.
And I think, you know, I would love to hear what things that you're reading because that help you with any of that or things that you ingest. Because I right now am reading The Four Agreements, which it's 120 pages. It's delightful, great, amazing. Because it really talks about the four agreements you need to make with yourself. That we're all making agreements that like to a certain degree, if there's anything that I'm feeling like low self-esteem about, I'm agreeing to that. If there's any sort of negative thoughts that are in my head or I can't do this, like we're always making agreements with ourselves and the universe all the time. So what are the agreements that you are agreeing with?
Right.
So to sort of flip that and change that, like what stories are you buying into and saying yes to? And then just acknowledging like, wait a minute, not going to buy into that story that I can't do this because I'm black and I'm gay or I'm a woman or I'm in a wheelchair or I'm like older or whatnot.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
What I do is I try and find those stories that help uplift me.
Mm.
Like, I recently found out, like, Marshall Ali, he is 43.
Oh, yeah.
Toni Morrison didn't write her first novel until she was 39.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm feeling insecure about my age, which is ridiculous because I'm not even that old, but still, I find these stories to empower myself. I look for examples, and if there isn't that example, I know from other examples that I can transcend the block.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you're, baby girl, you are young, let me tell you. This is my baby girl over here. Because, like, you are just beginning, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And that, I'm telling everybody, Aneke is a brilliant, talented woman who is just begun to, you're not even at the tip of the iceberg.
It's reciprocal.
You have, like, just, you're touching the iceberg. You're barely even there. It's a huge ass beautiful glacier underneath of just amazing things that are to come.
Yeah. And see, talking with friends, hanging out with friends,
and the right
feeling
friends,
empowered,
the
yes.
right people.
You want the people, like, for example, James, he jokes the whole Dina Lohan thing, but seriously, you are such a support to all your friends, such a rally cry, and that is something that we all need, and I hope that you're getting it in return, because you seriously are fucking killing it out there. So
Thank you.
About surrounding yourself with people who are giving you that support.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And I think I brought this up earlier in this podcast. It is hard to break up with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that we all need to do, too.
Yeah.
If you have a toxic-ass relationship and somebody you feel, like, depleted from, it's time to move away.
Well, that's interesting. Just a thing about self-worth that does not going to help build your self-worth. I was at a play reading recently, and I think I told you about this, and it was essentially, there's this play that was written back in the 60s called Boys in the Band. It is this old, it was like one of the first queer theatrical productions. Like, it was part of the new queer theater arts movement.
Yeah.
And it's there's a movie that was done out, and everybody really, at the time, didn't really like this play, and now people loathe it.
Yeah.
Because it was so self-hating. Back then, if you're going to do a queer play, they had to be either self-hating, or if it was a lesbian play, they had to die of cancer. Like, there couldn't be a happy ending. And, and part of the Boys in the Band, it was like, oh, we can have this queer production, but we need to see the mess of you, right?
Terrible.
And part of, there's a line in Boys in the Band, like, why do we have to be so mean? And like, all the characters at this party, and they're so mean to each other. And then this person I know wrote this play, 145 pages of a new play.
Yeah.
Like, and this is his third draft of it. I'm like, why is it fucking 145 pages? Anyways, 145 pages, 9 gay characters at a party, and they're all mean to each other. They're hitting on each other's boyfriends. There's just
toxic.
All this just like, and I'm like thinking, like, no one says anything nice to each other. I'm just like, why would anybody
hang out
with these people? And I thought, like, no one talks like this. And I'm like, this is Boys in the Band Part 2. Cut to all of his friends, like, come over for the reading, and they are talking like these characters.
Toxic.
And they're so mean to each other. I just was like, must be nice, like, be nicer to ourselves than be nicer to other people. That
yes!
Sometimes, like, the world is reflecting to you
right.
what's going on the inside.
Exactly.
So that's information. Like, if I'm feeling like, oh, all these people are in my way, what I'm reflecting to myself is that, I could slow down.
Right.
I could actually maybe take a breather, right?
I
like
love
if
that.
You're if something is you can feel it, your body is such a great resonator and it's giving you feedback and information that if you're vibrating this energy,
right?
And it's saying take a step back, or like, why does that person annoy me so much?
Yes.
Is there something that I can, the world is your teacher. What can I maybe learn from them? Or maybe I've already learned. I'm annoyed because they seem to interrupt people all the time. And maybe I can check in. I'm afraid that maybe I do that. And then I can see if like, what's the information there?
Right.
Oh, I'm really respectful when I talk to other people, or I make an effort to really listen. And what that does is it removes the judgment. I'm no longer judging, but I'm learning from them.
I love that.
How can we make all of our interactions information and just learning, right?
Yes. It's all about listening to your environment and listening to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I love your listening to yourself and how you turning judgment into a consideration. I also love listening to how your body is. When I'm aching for, if I haven't been exercising and I'm aching, or there was a moment when I was too stressed out and working too much. I was sitting on the couch one day watching TV and just started crying. you listen to that. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I took the components of my life that mm-hmm. did not mesh, what was stressing me out, mm-hmm. and I confronted it. Mm. I ended up dropping one aspect of my job.
Yeah.
And I ended up shifting my attentions to friends that are way more constructive mm-hmm. and surrounding myself with good people.
Yeah.
And things got better.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise too always helps.
Yeah.
I always have to say exercise always helps.
You gotta eating be, right too. Eating right. right. Taking care of yourself. It's, sleep.
Yes.
Sleep.
So these are things that we take for granted mm-hmm. because we're on the go, go, go path where yeah. it's like, I'll just grab some chips or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I'm guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta be in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But also
in your body. Yeah.
Dancers live fucking forever.
Because they live through their body. They communicate mm-hmm. Through their body.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all about being attuned to what's happening around you. And you'll see that things will start to brighten up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And taking care of yourself. I love all of that. I feel so empowered. There was something else I was going to say, but I it's gone from me. So we'll have to come the next time we have a Super Soul Sit Down Sunday.
I love all the S's.
Well, a Super Soul Sit Down Sister Sunday.
Ooh.
You know, just kidding. It just goes back to really taking care of you.
Yes.
Because it really just starts with all on the inside, with our own selves. And then we're able to do all the other great, wonderful, amazing things. Because also, too, it's like, it's supposed to be fun.
Right!
Life is supposed to be fun. And something else that you were talking about, that what you did is you checked in with what your priorities were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, and especially you and I have this, we're people pleasers.
Right.
And I think especially people who are a minority.
Yeah.
We, again, or we didn't get our self-worth from other... We weren't taught self-worth and self-love.
Well, the culture of American culture
doesn't teach it to you.
Yeah.
And so we're feeling, you know... And so we overachieve and we work our asses off. And so what ends up happening is we're saying yes to everybody else except for ourselves.
Right.
And so what I love what you did is you, like, take a look and say... I reorganized my life of, like, what's my priorities today?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, oh, I have to do all this stuff, da-da-da. What's my priorities? And also changing, like, I heard this thing from somebody else, like, it's not what do I have to do, but what am I blessed to be able to do today?
Okay, there you go.
Because I don't, for one, have to do anything.
Right.
I am fortunate for the ability to go and do these things.
Exactly.
I have legs to get me there. You know, finding gratitude and appreciation is very helpful, too. Of like, you know, even something that you don't want to do, but you're choosing to do it.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm blessed to be able to go and do this thing today, right?
I love that. And then also leading up to that, you can build off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you don't want to go to work.
No.
But work will give you the money to go on a vacation.
Right. And that's where you're trying to go to, right? And let that enthusiasm and think about how much fun you're going to have. And then work then becomes a priority. Oh, I'm so blessed to be able to go to this job, to be able to make money so I can go into this vacation. And mm-hmm. what that's going to do is change your energy about what it is that you're going to go do.
Exactly.
Then you're doing with enthusiasm.
Right.
And that's going to empower the fuck out of you.
Yes.
So I'll tell you, the people that are around you will want to be around. It's infectious.
It's
enthusiasm and positivity and joy. It's so fucking infectious. Do it. Shine so fucking bright with enthusiasm, and it's going to help you get through this thing that you didn't want to do. And who knows? Magical things will pop out of that.
Hear.
Set your game plan. Last note, I also recommend.
Yes.
I just said this recently, setting your 1 year, 5 year, 10 year plan.
Okay, yes. You need to have goals. Goals are important.
I did it recently, and it kind of just also, for me, it made me realize what was, again, one of my priorities, where my interests lie. So it's like, oh, if I don't really focus, if I don't take all these dance classes, it's okay, because in my 1 year plan, it's not really my priority. You
right.
know? Setting those goals. Because it helps sort of propel, what do you want to do?
Right.
What are you about? Where are you going?
I like that, because it's also... I also want to add that it's okay if your goals shift.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why, like, it's fun to kind of look at your 1 year. I found doing my 1 year and my 10 year easier than doing my 5 year.
Mm-hmm.
Because with your 10 year, you can dream really, really big.
Right.
In your 5 year, it's like a little bit sort of close.
It's like that one city that's about an hour away where you're like, it's close, but it's not that close.
It's your San Jose if you're living in the Bay Area. Shout out to our San Jose listeners. And like, I've had a blast doing this our Super Soul Sunday sit down session.
This has been good.
Well, I hope you all have enjoyed it, and just, you know, be your best Dina Lohan. No, be your best you.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, move out of here, Dina. But you know what, Dina? You be your best you, too.
You too!
You too, Dina. Anika, it has been a blast.
New York has been treating me well.
I feel like you're empowered to go back to the Bay Area.
I am going to bring my New York wit and my energy back to the Bay Area, and it is going to be on.
You know what? The best thing you can do is marry the East Coast to the West Coast. Like, take the best of both, right? You won't walk too fast, but you also won't walk too slow.
Right.
You know, you'll walk with direction, but with a smile.
Oh, okay. Look at you.
Focus, but with style.
All right.
Fun, but with a little bit of
Sure.
Right? All those things.
Yeah, that's good. You know what? It's my turn to drive the ship.
I'm not ready for this quiz.
Where can we find us on Twitter?
At Minority Corner with a K.
There we go.
Okay.
If somebody wants to email us, what should we do?
They should email minoritycorner@gmail.com, corner with a K.
There we go.
Okay, this is hard.
So, like, if you're on Facebook and you're perusing around, what are two places that they can visit?
You have two options. You can do the Minority Corner Kids Playground.
Ding. Yes, ding.
And
got
then
that.
Minority Corner
Facebook page.
Okay, just like it.
There
That's
you
all
go.
You gotta do.
Is there anything else?
Also, we love your wonderful reviews that you write for us on iTunes.
Yes.
When
thank
you do
you.
That, it really helps. The more that we get the ratings and reviews on iTunes, it just helps other people to find us, and the iTunes will also highlight us. So we really, really appreciate it. And if you like this episode, share it with somebody.
Yes.
If there's another episode that you liked even more, share that with somebody.
Please.
Word of mouth is so helpful, and we're so grateful for all of you listeners.
Thank you.
It's just such a beautiful things about to come in, and you listen to us, and
we are listening to you on the Minority Corner Playground.
And some of you also, I know you are listening to us in fast forward, and I wonder what that
How
experience
do you know
is
they fast
like.
Forward
but
us?
I know a listener. He said I sometimes listen to you guys in double time
because
they want to be able to get through the episode faster.
God, we already talk really fast.
So I don't understand how you'd be able to understand anything that we're saying.
I'm exhausted.
See? Yeah. I fast forwarded myself. And I'm going to miss you. You go back to the California.
I'm
going
to miss you too. I'm going to have to go through the interwebs again.
You know, but you know what? Still fabulous.
It's true.
And I can, you take your fabulous ass home.
And you keep your fabulous, fabulous ass here.
I will do so.
Okay.
And together, we will be fabulous.
Hey, Max Fun fans, it's me, Jesse, the owner of Maximum Fun. I've got a question for you. Will you help us make our shows better? We wanted to find a way to find out what the Max Fun community thinks about our shows. So we started something called the Max Fun Listener Panel. Basically, you subscribe to a podcast feed, and twice a month or so, roughly speaking, we'll send you an episode of a show and instructions on how to fill out a quick survey about what you think about that show. 10 questions. Nothing too crazy. You'll be hearing existing shows that we're thinking about making changes to. Secret pilots of shows that we're developing that you'll only hear this way. Shows we're considering adding to the network. And what you think about them really matters to us. So, to join the panel, it's easy. Just go to MaximumFun.org/listener panel. That's MaximumFun.org/listener panel. Thanks for helping make Max Fun better.
The three of you enter a cave of a big red dragon and is standing over a hoard of precious golden rubies. And he says, "What do you do, adventurers? I'm a dragon man."
I cast fire on him. It's very good.
I address the red dragon and say, "Us, we're the hosts of The Adventure Zone, a podcast about family playing Dungeons & Dragons."
Very good synergy. Commit to the bit.
I roll to charm new listeners. It is very effective, against all odds.
Everybody, we're the McRoys. We host the Adventure Zone, a podcast where we play Dungeons & Dragons together. It's a comedy podcast. We don't take the rules too seriously because there's a lot of them, and we did not take the time to learn them. Maybe listen to us. We come out every other Thursday on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find us on iTunes or on MaximumFun.org. I think this promo is a critical hit.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.